From KUOW Seattle, it's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.
I'm Ross Reynolds. Fighting in Iraq has increased over the past year. 2 weeks ago, militants drove government forces out of Fallujah and Mirati, two cities in the Anbar province of Iraq.
That news has dismayed many American military vets who fought long and hard in the region. U.S. troops are no longer stationed there. Spillover from the Syrian civil war is in part to blame for the violence in Iraq, but that's not the entire explanation. Dan Murphy is a Middle East correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Danny, you write that the civil war in Iraq never really ended. What do you mean by that?
Quite simply, you know, Iraq, after the U.S. invasion in 2003, was a society where power ended up completely redistributed to essentially the Shiite Arab majority of the country at the expense of the Sunni Arab minority that more or less was favored under Saddam Hussein. That is what the civil war that raged in 2005 and 2006 and for much in 2007 was about. That was what the so-called U.S. troop surge was about stopping. And ultimately, the hope was that we would make more peaceful conditions there, and then there would be political reconciliations amongst the various Iraqi factions that would enable a long-term or at least medium-term stable future. That reconciliation never happened. Instead, the current prime minister, Nouri al-Maliki, has been triumphalist and chauvinistic in his approach to governing, and that made another explosion like we're seeing now pretty much inevitable.
What specifically reignited fighting in the Anbar province?
Well, let's remember that last year, 2013, was the bloodiest year for Iraqi civilians since 2008, at least. About 8,000 people were killed, which was more than double the total in 2012. The specific events in Anbar, you're quite right to point out that the Syrian civil war is a very important aspect of this because the Islamic State in Iraq, which was originally an al-Qaeda affiliate in Iraq, has merged with the Syrian jihadis, and they've been flowing back and forth across the border. However, in mid to late December, Nouri al-Maliki decided to go after a very senior Sunni Arab politician from Ramadi, which is the capital of Anbar. They raided his home, they arrested him, they killed his brother and about five of his bodyguards, and he also went after Sunni Arab protest encampments that were protesting central government policy but that were not an open insurrection against the government and certainly weren't al-Qaeda. He branded them as terrorists, he went after them, he broke them up by force, and that's what led to the uprising in Fallujah and Ramadi by Sunni Arabs with important involvement from the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant.
So it sounds like what you're saying, Dan, is that Nouri al-Maliki, as the prime minister of this country, has taken actions that have really exacerbated not only violent fighting, but also this relationship between the Shia and Sunni Muslim groups.
Yeah. It can be oversimplified, but it is clearly the case that Prime Minister Maliki has governed very much as the leader of Shiite Iraq and not the leader of Iraq full stop. When the United States pulled out a couple of years ago, within weeks, he began a politically motivated terrorism investigation and prosecution against Vice President Tariq al-Hashimi, who was who is a Sunni Arab but was the most senior elected Sunni Arab official in the country. Who's now living in exile with a death sentence in absentia. He has consistently moved in this direction, and that, as much as anything, is why Anbar province in particular is such a mess today.
I'm talking with Dan Murphy of Christian Science Monitor. He's in the United States right now but has done extensive reporting on the situation in Iraq. Is this a revenge motive for Saddam Hussein and his Ba'athist party, which was...
Well, the Ba'ath party, by the way, had many Shiites in it. Iyad Alawi, whose party won the last election, although it was a narrow margin of victory and Maliki was able to outmaneuver him, he was of Shiite background. The Ba'ath party was not entirely a Sunni Arab vehicle, although it is true that Sunnis did, by and large, much better than the Shiite Islamists that the United States helped bring to power after deposing Saddam. There is clearly revenge motivations, not just to the Saddam Hussein era, but we can't forget that probably about 150 Iraqi civilians died in the sectarian fighting that raged, again, 2005 to 2008 time period. Entire communities were cleansed of either Shiites or Sunnis. And there's enormous amounts of anger on both sides of the divide. And certainly, if the shoe was on the other foot, I think it's quite possible I might be saying things as critical of a Sunni Arab prime minister. This is a country that suffered a major national trauma. There's no one that doesn't know somebody who wasn't killed in the past decade. And that's something that's still working through the system of the nation.
Iraq is scheduled to hold elections in April. What can we expect to see?
I think it's going to be very interesting. One of the responses of the Sunni Arabs in parliament is about 44 of them resigned after this raid on the senior MP in December. Is there the chance of a Sunni Arab boycott of the election again? Not likely. Is there going to be a backlash against Maliki that challenges his ability to retain the premiership for a third time? And finally, how safe will it be to have elections in large parts of the country, not just Anbar province, but Nineveh province, which lies along a little further north, the Syrian border, Diyala province, which is just north of Baghdad. These are places that have very strong insurgent elements that can make it very difficult and dangerous to go to the polls.
Dan, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us. Dan Murphy, Middle East correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. It's The Record on KUOW.